Tonight, we'd like to take a look at Colossians chapter 3, and I'd like to draw your attention to verse 20. And I've asked the teenagers to come in because it really has to deal with their lives and what it means to obey parents. But I wanted some kids to look at if I was going to be teaching this. Next week, I want to encourage them to come back because I want to deal with parents. How parents need to learn to work with their children and how they need to begin to understand the dynamics of really the relationship. But tonight in Colossians chapter 3, as we are going through the Bible, taking a look at family affair, we've taken a look at the husband, we've taken a look at the wife. Tonight we want to take a look at really the children being obedient to the parent. And then next week we'll take a look at the parent. And then the following week we want to take a look at fathers and mothers together. How a father can really encourage in a different way than being a parent, really can encourage a son or a daughter in the ways of God. And so really have had a wonderful time. Tonight as we look at this area, you might think, well, Steve, what does this have to deal with me? Well, the word children in the Greek is a word that means under the roof or under authority. And it's a word that embraces more than just children, but children of God. And so though I'll be speaking to them about their relationship with their parents in the home, it also has to deal with us and our submission and our obedience to God. And as we looked at concerning husbands, we are to love our wives. Wives, we are to be obedient and submit to our husbands. Well, the word that we want to look at tonight is that interesting word meaning obedience. And it means to listen under or to be under someone to begin to mature. And so it says in Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well and pleasing unto the Lord. Let me read that again to you. Children, or church, obey the Lord or your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. U.S. News and World Report did a interesting comparison concerning different years in which generations have grown up. And they did a comparison what were some of the major complaints in the schools in 1940. And one of the major complaints were talking out of turn, chewing gum, making noise, running in the halls, cutting in line, and dress code violation. Well, we laugh at that and think, my goodness, would to God it be like that now. But then they did a report in 1995, and these were the major concerns of the school teachers. Drug abuse, alcohol abuse, pregnancy, suicide, robbery, assault, and now you can add murder since Columbine and some of the other schools have taken place. So within generations, we have seen things turn completely upside down. Under lock and key, the school can't even get into a school unless it's under lock and key. And we find that teachers are beginning to leave because they are so concerned about their life. I saw a young man today with a tattoo on his arm, and the tattoo was angry on one side and mean on the other side. And I thought, what a generation from my generation that was the love-in to now a generation that really enjoys violence. They enjoy being able to just be different. And there's nothing wrong with being different. I think that teenagers are teenagers and they're always going to be different. But the destructiveness of the kids today in the home and the disrespect is unbelievable. Because now it seems that children are beginning to run the home and beginning to even threaten parents in such an interesting way. And so we find that teenage suicides are rising. 500,000 teenagers commit suicide every single year. 500,000. Suicides have increased 300% since 1960, and suicides are now starting at the age of 6 years old. Can you imagine a six-year-old beginning to take out their life because the pressure is beginning to come too strong? 10 million children have venereal diseases. 5,000 sexual diseases every day. 1 in 5 teenagers are using drugs that we know. 1 million teenagers are working the streets before 16 as prostitutes. And we find that 12 million children are alcoholics, and teens are beginning to kill one another in the schools. I read this thing that I want to read to you, and especially to the teenagers, because it really says what I want to say, and then I want to give you four things to really think about. 18-year-old Brent stared at the doctor in disbelief. Until today, AIDS has always been something that happened to other people. Sure, he had a fling when he was 15 years old, but is it fair that he should earn a sentence of death? Todd, a college-bound track star, had everything going for him, looks and brains, ability. He also got herpes. It's miserable, and it's incurable, but at least it's not AIDS, he says. Jessica, a bright and beautiful honor student from a Christian home, until the color stick from her home pregnancy tested turned blue, her future looked rosy. At every turn of society tells our kids, if it feels good, do it. And life only comes around once. Live it to the fullest now. The radio speeches and the songs like Tonight's the Night, MTV, the illustrations of lewd, suggestive lyrics, by and large, secular broadcasting media, do little to reinforce moral values or demonstrate the consequence of irresponsibility of moral behavior. When was the last time you saw a secular television program show a person contracting a sexual transmitted disease or portray a broken teenager suffering through unplanned pregnancy? Society faults and distorts the message on love and sex and have devastated effects on the basic moral convictions of our young people. Those basic moral convictions once held by a previous generation are apparently not being passed on to our present generation. And a generation without moral conviction is a generation crumbling under the pressure of a secular worldview. Prevailing attitudes about sex have been drastically changed during the last couple decades. In 1969, a Gallup poll found 68% of all adults felt that premarital sex was wrong. However, less than 20 years later, in the United States or U.S. and News World Report showed that 61% now find premarital sex acceptable, and a whopping 78% of young adults ages 18 to 29 approve of premarital sex. One night on a television talk show, a guest told Hollywood actors who stepped out on his wife, picked up a beautiful gal in a bar. He slept with her that one night only to wake up in the morning to find her gone, and scribbled in lipstick on the bathroom window was "Welcome to the World of AIDS." 70% of all pornography magazines end up in the hands of minors. One member of the commission estimates that the chief consumer of hardcore pornography are men between the age of 15 and 17. In the next 24 hours, more than 35,000 American teenagers will have sexual transmitted diseases. That's 13 million people in a year. A few years ago, there were just 5 of these diseases. Today, there are more than 34 different diseases. And with advent of the killing of AIDS virus, medical doctors are becoming prophets of doom. The contemporary teen sex scene is not a pretty picture. 3,000 adolescents will get pregnant today. That's more than 1 million girls a year, 30,000 of whom will be under the age of 15. Of these teens, 60% will be pregnant again within 2 years. More than 400,000 will have abortions this year. Of those who carry their babies to term, 93% will keep their children, costing the government an estimate of $18 billion a year in federal expenses for aides to Family and Department of Children, Medicare, food stamps. In addition to the problems of unplanned pregnancy, 7,000 teens will contract a sexual transmitted disease every day this year. Added to these costs of loss of dreams and family heartache, the stunt of spiritual growth, the price tag of teenage sex, kids today have not much to look forward to. What accounts for all this increase in sexual activity? To be sure, the media have played a major role in making sex outside of marriage a social acceptance. By the age of 20, the average viewer has seen 90,000 suggestive acts of sex on television and screens referring to 80% portrayed of sex outside of marriage. The number of never-married teenage girls have sex increased by two-thirds during the decade. Most researches show that the average age of the first time of a teenager having sex is 15. For the girl, it's 14. Statistics reveal that 29% of middle school ages 11 through 13 and 54% of high schools ages 14 through 18 surveyed in Culver City say they are sexually active. Among the middle schools, boys admit they're active at the age of 11 and girls at the age of 12. Teenage pregnancies are at a near all-time high. A 25% decline in birth rate between 1970 and 1984 is due to a double abortion rate during the period. More than 400,000 girls have aborted. Of teens who marry because of pregnancy, 60% will be divorced in 5 years. And present trend continues, 40% of today's 14-year-old girls will be pregnant before the age 20. Since the popular push for condoms, the increase of pregnancy is up 400%. A Baltimore medical clinic with 18,000 patients under 18 reported recently that 51% of all hospitalizations were related to sexual activity, abortion, birth, and sexual transmitted diseases. And let me just end here. As Christian parents, we'd like to think that our kids aren't doing it. But a study of 1,400 teens show that two-thirds of young adults, teenagers, are sexually active. What may be even more disturbing in that is 82% of the teens who answer this questionnaire suggest and admit that they are in a church and committed to Christ. A third of them don't believe there was anything wrong with sexual intercourse before marriage. And the survey shows a very little difference between sexual behavior of Christians and teens across the board. Billy Graham almost floored the large crowd attending the 1988 meeting of the National Religious Broadcasters when he revealed extremely damaging information about pastors' conventions at a large hotel. A spokesman from the hotel stated that 75% of the rooms occupied by Bible-believing pastors and youth pastors turned on X-rated movies. No other group, lawyers, doctors, morticians, politicians, educators, use the paid-for-sex channel as much as the pastors and the youth pastors in their families. The temptation is out of control. When I look at this, I begin to realize that what we have in front of us is just a devastating report. And when you read what Paul was saying, that the importance of honoring your parents and looking at the importance of a life of obedience. Again, one of the great things that I have come to walk away in these studies is that women are to submit unto the Lord. They're to look to God and they are to submit, but they are to look to Jesus Christ. Husbands are to love the Lord with all their heart and they are to love their wife as Christ loved the church. And we come now to the teenagers, or to the children. and they are to obey the Lord as unto the Lord. So the obedience that God is looking for, the commitment that God is asking for, is far beyond the church. It has to deal with a relationship of Jesus Christ. And God has made you in His image. And God has given you the power of His Holy Spirit to be able to be obedient before God. And every one of us tonight in this room, teenagers or adults, we must understand the importance of the work of the Holy Spirit within our life. Because we are living in perilous times. We are living in very difficult times. And once again we see. I find it interesting that one of the signs of the last day will be disobedience to parents. You remember in Proverbs 30, verse 11, there are people who curse their father and do not show their appreciation to their mother. There are people who think they are pure when they are filthy as they can be. There are people who think they are good. Oh, how good they think they are. There are people who take care of advantage of the poor and needy and the way they make their living. Now check this out. Anyone who makes fun of his father or despises his mother in her old age ought to be eaten by vultures and have their eyes plucked out by wild ravens. I mean, that's in the Bible. And so you kind of begin to get a little bit picture of the responsibility we're to have towards our parents. Now, I am not one to really speak about this because I was a horrible son in my home. I was out of control, on LSD. I chased my mother down the street trying to kill her with a machete. I did everything that a good boy should not do. So as I'm putting the study together, all I could think about is I wish I would have had somebody who had enough heart and guts to say, this is the way that you should have lived your life. Because when I look at my life and I see the scars and the pain and the agony and the insecurity that I caused within my own family, I'm ashamed. When I look at someone like maybe Skip Heisek or a John Corson or a Don McClure or a Chuck Smith, who were raised within a Christian home, who made a decision to surrender their life to Christ early in their life, there's just something different about their life. They didn't have to go down the path that many of you are going down. And they made a decision, a good decision. But that decision was based upon a strong foundation of biblical principles. So even though you're in church, and even though you're committed to Christ, God is asking that you would understand that your obedience in the home is likened to your submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're rebellion at home or in rebellion at home, and you're out of control at home, then you cannot say that your relationship with God is great. And so you come to church and you begin to have problems here among us. And the reason why is because you're looking, searching, longing to find that peace within your heart, wanting to be accepted, wanting to be loved, and wanting to be used by God. God made you with the capacity to be used by God. But because oftentimes your parents have not raised you in the Lord, or have not put their foot down in your life, have not dealt in your life in the way that should have been dealt with, because they were afraid of the consequences that you threatened them, oftentimes you've been able to override certain things. But I want you to know it's only to your own hurt. Because if you have a desire as a teen to please God, then the way that you please God is that you're obedient at home. And it doesn't mean that your parents are always right. It says you are to obey in all things, short of sin, but you are to obey in all things of your life. In 1 Timothy in Just want to get this on the tape. In 2 Timothy in chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "For the people will be lovers of themselves, and they will desire money. They will be boasters and proud, scoffers at God, disobedient to parent." And then you remember in Romans in chapter 1, he says in verse 30, "They are backstabbers, haters of God. They are proud, boastful. They are forever inventors of new ways of sinning, and they are disobedient to God." So one of the key factors in the very last day is a generation that is totally disobedient to their family. And I suggest that we are living in that generation. And I suggest that your relationship with God is something that you need to take a good, hard look at. Because the blessings of God and the favor of God and the prosperity of God and the goodness of God is based upon your obedience here in the fellowship, in home, and where you go and what you do in your life. And Paul now opens the door. And I want to share four things with you tonight. Four things that I think that I did pretty well with my own son. I was pretty strong with him. But he's today 30 years old, vice president of a bank, and now going to be a senior vice president in just a little bit. And God has blessed him in a wonderful way. Got a wonderful card from Father's Day saying, "Dad, you were hard, but the principles you taught are the reason why I'm successful today." And so I want to address the teens in a way that you would prepare your life for the future. In a very powerful way, Jesus, it says he grew in wisdom. He grew in knowledge. He grew in obedience. Wonderful things. So number one, you must have four things if you're going to be a teenager today in this world and be blessed. Number one, you need to learn the importance of relationship. Four R's. The importance of relationship within your life. Secondly, you need to learn the importance of respect. You need to learn the importance of respect within your life. Thirdly, you need to learn the importance of responsibility. The importance of responsibility. And number four, you need to learn the importance of reverence in the ministry of Christ. Four simple R's. Number one, that you are to understand relationship. Number two, that you are to have a respect. Number three, that you are to have responsibility. And number four, you are to have reverence. So let me lay this out in the very best way I can to kind of build you up, encourage you, get it on tape. Maybe your kids can listen to it. I'll listen to it later on. But these are the foundations of the building block that God wants to do in and through your life tonight. Number one, you must learn the importance of relationship within your life. In Colossians 3:20, he goes on to declare, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. The word children is a word that has no age requirement. Because you remember it says they took their children that were drinking and took them in front of the judges of Israel and they stoned them to death. And so it has no tie. In other words, as long as my mother is alive, I am her child. And so I am part of her life and there's a responsibility. There's an understanding. Yes, I'm married. I'm to cleave to my wife. I'm to have a new life, but there is a certain authority that God has placed over my life. So the first thing that you as a teen must understand, or as a husband or as a wife, is relationship. And when we are growing up, relationship is not important. We use, we abuse. We take, we throw away. And when you get older in life, and the kids go, and all you have is the two of you, relationships become extremely important. The older I become, the older Gail becomes, relationship becomes the essence of a life. Well, the Bible declares that you have to have a relationship with God if you're going to pull this one off. Because there's not a kid in this room that's going to submit to any type of authority as long as they're alive. And there's not anyone in this room that's going to submit to authority in leadership as long as they can get away with it, unless they understand that there is that chain of authority and God works within the government of God. And so there is a certain order that God must establish to bring the blessings of God in and through your life. So your home can either be a paradise or it can become a prison. And you have to make the decision what you want it to become. If you're going to serve God, love God, respect God, if you're going to fellowship around the brothers and sisters, and you're going to be in the Bible and begin to have music that's pleasing to the Lord, God is going to give you incredible freedom within your home. It's going to be a palace. You're going to find parents doing things, and they're going to be easier to let you go. But if you're disobedient, if you're out of control, if you're not loving God and walking in the ways of God, then they don't trust you. And they have every right not to trust you in that sense, because your life is not pleasing to God. You say, well, you can't judge me. No, but that joint in your mouth, who you hang out with, how you're looking, those things begin to generate who you really are. And all of a sudden, when parties become more important than the Lord Jesus Christ, or you begin to treat your sister or your relatives different, or you begin to dump your friends, or you begin to change the way you dress because you're trying to impress somebody, you're in trouble. Because the relationship between you and God has now altered. Therefore, you must alter your behavior so you fit in with everybody else. And I'm going to tell you, to fit into this world, man, I can't figure it out. You know, it really is a bizarre generation to fit into. I mean, I like my generation, tie-dyes and flowers. That was about it. Now you have to have, your whole body has to be pierced. You know, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I got my ears pierced. I was drunk one night and they ran a 16-penny nail through my ear. Ran it into the wall. And there I hung with this nail through my ear. And I got in all kinds of trouble. And so we find that tattoos are beginning to happen. And I personally feel that Satan is just setting people up for the final tattoo of the 666. And people are beginning to abuse their bodies because they're out of control inside. And if you're going to wear the tattoo, then you ought to, if you have Christ, you ought to live it for the rest of your life for the glory of God. So if you can live it inside, if that's who you are, I don't have a problem with it. And so I have much more freedom than you think, because I've been there and done it. But I've also been shot. And I've also done some horrible things. But it was because of a relationship that was completely out to lunch. I had no relationship with my dad. Very little relationship with my mom. Had no relationship with society, because I was wiped out on drugs. I was molested when I was young. And so I was isolated and angry. And so it caused me to have major problems when I was young. And so now when I came to Christ and God has given me a new heart, He's teaching me the value of trusting and building relationships and beginning to trust people. And you're going to have to trust somebody in your life. And the ones that brought you into this world, your parents, they don't want to hurt you as much as you think they do. They don't want to ruin your lives. They're the only ones willing to fight for what they really believe. And though they might be wrong, and though they might make horrible mistakes within your life, their honest evaluation of you is trying to keep you down that narrow path, and you're making it difficult for them. If you make it easy, God will bless you. If you make it hard, it's going to be a fight. And if you have a dad like me, then he needs to win all the time. And you're going to have problems inside the home. But I want to tell you, I came to Christ and I served the Lord. And then I got married and we served God together. And then I had my children and we still serve God. I'm not going to change my philosophy for my children. If they want to walk away, they can walk away. But as for me and my family, we need to walk with the Lord. So I can't change. If my wife changes, my children changes, if I change, she can't change, or my kids can't change. In other words, it is between you and God tonight. So you will never be able to get before God and say, it's the jerky dad I had, Lord. And Jesus will say to you, well, what did you do with my son? Well, I couldn't really keep my eyes on him because I had this horrible father. Hezekiah was a great king. His dad was Ahab, a horrible king. Sometimes you have a horrible king, you have a great kid. Sometimes you have a great dad, you got a horrible kid. I mean, I can't figure the thing out. I like what James Dobson said. He had four philosophies raising children. He had four children, now he has no philosophy whatsoever. I mean, I can't figure it out. You think you got it nailed in one, you lose it. So number one, there has to be a relationship involved. And when you lose that relationship with your mom and dad, and all of a sudden your friends become more important than what God is doing in your home, you're in trouble. And that's the first sign. Relationships are what hold a family together, what bind a fellowship together. Relationships are more important than religion. And that's why we believe that it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with the Maker. And God wants a relationship with you. And if you accept that relationship as born-again, Spirit-filled teens, then you must accept the command that God has given to you, and that is to be obedient unto the Lord. And so children obey once again. And so it means to listen or to be under. And I just want to encourage you. You have a great example. There was another son that was under authority. It was Jesus Christ. He was under his father's authority. And his father said, no, this cup cannot pass. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And so Jesus Christ didn't get what he wanted. But it was a faithful father that led him to the cross. And it was a son that believed in his father to go through that horrible suffering. Let me give you another one. There was a situation of Abraham and Isaac. And it was Isaac that was willing to lay on that altar, allowing his father to come down with a knife, because his son believed in his father. There was a relationship. And when you have a relationship, and I'll get to your parents next week, but when you are seeking to maintain a relationship with your family, that's all you can ask for. If my kids will continue to seek a relationship, God will solve every one of our problems all the way down the road. And so once again, we need that relationship, that perspective from a different view. And been there, done it. I've been broken. I've seen horrible things, and I want to share those experiences with my kids. Well, they accuse me of being controlling. Oh, Dad, you're controlling. No, I'm just trying to prevent you from pain. Dad, I'm so quick, I'm never going to get hurt. Call me when you need help. And they call. Because it's a painful thing. Growing up is a very painful thing. Broken relationship, broken dreams, shattered dreams. And when you're my age, you've been there, you've been hurt, you've been devastated. What do I value the most? I value the staff. I value the friends I have in this church more than the church. I value you. You're the relationship. And so I look forward to seeing what God wants to do in your life. But if you have no relationship with Christ, you're never going to be obedient. And you're going to fight your parents, and therefore you're going to be fighting God. Because behind your parents, God's watching. So number one, relationship. The second R word that I want to draw your attention to very simply is also interesting. It means very simply, respect. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Just one book back. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, children or teens, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Underline the word, this is right. And then in verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. In other words, out of the 10, there was one promise that God gave that had a promise with it. So out of the 10, the 6th commandment was the one that had a promise. I should say the 5th commandment had a promise, and this is it. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live a long time upon the earth. So, the second is respect. Now, if I have a relationship, the second is so important, respect. Well, I don't respect anybody. Well, you're never going to get a job. Well, I don't respect any type of people, then you're never going to make it in society. God has to give you an understanding of authority. You might not like to submit women, but that's where God works. I might not like to rule, but that's where God works. I might not want to be obedient, but that's where God pours His blessing out. So when I respect God for the way that He made me, then I have no option but to be a dynamic leader. When my wife understands why God made her, she has no option but to be a dynamic woman of submission, because God will pour a world through her life. When my children understand the importance of obedience, and they are obedient, God will pour a world through their life. If I have that respect, that I can say that I honor my parents. The word honor in the Hebrew and in the Greek means to have weight. It means to have respect within the home. Now, sometimes you don't respect your parents. That's okay. You need to pray for them. You need to love them. Sometimes their lifestyle is not something to respect. But you're to respect the Lord. That for some reason God brought you into this family and they were given you as a gift. Check that out. And you have been brought into their life to help them grow. And they have been brought into your life to help you grow. So when they say no, and you say no, guess what's going to happen? Everybody's going to grow. In other words, my children, I did not have them by accident. They were the personality that I needed in my life to change my life. So when I talk about Nathan or I talk about Heather, I should pay them for all the lessons I've learned how to teach the Bible. Because they have been the greatest examples in my life of how to make this thing real. When my daughter looked at me and she said, "Dad, are you done?" Well, yeah. Or my son looks to me and says, "Dad, why do you love me because I'm a Christian, but you don't love me when I don't walk with God?" Interesting question. In other words, "Dad, why is your love conditional and not unconditional?" And so I gave him the answer, because I'm a sinner and I'm mad. So if you start walking with God, we'd be really happy right now. But that's not the lesson. So my whole life has been trying to get them to do what God wants them to do. But their whole life has been trying to get Dad to do what they want to do. And God's whole life has been getting all three of them to do what He wants them to do. So God brought them into your life. So you, with your weird hairdo and all the weirdness about your life, you are a gift to these parents. And when they wake up in the morning, they don't know what to think. It's like, "Oh, I brought you into the world." Uh-huh. And there's just more creativity than within my heart. And then all of a sudden, you want to go somewhere, and they say, "No." And you think, God gave you these parents. God nailed you. And I remember the time my mom said, "Don't go to the mountains with the boys and party." And I was so mad at her. The only time she ever said no. But that same night, 6 of the guys in the football team all died in one cabin in a bathroom because they were loaded on drugs. And I would have been there. And I wouldn't be here tonight. So God used my mother, though she wasn't saved, to lead me and to guide me and to direct me. In other words, I have a respect. And so, to have a respect for your parents, that they brought you into the world, that believe it or not, that when they had a relationship, they were actually loving each other, having you. Thinking, huh, we can't wait to have this kid. Well, now they think, huh, don't know if we should have done that. And you look at them thinking, man, you know, is anybody home inside, you know? Wake up, you know. Quit listening to Bob Hope and start listening to, you know, heavy metal and all the other stuff, or the, you know, all the other types of music going on. I mean, when I grew up, it was Led Zeppelin. My parents listened to Bob Hope. Now, you're listening to music, I think it's like graveyard music, you know, the night, you know, it's just really, I'm thinking, gee, you know, what happened here? But it's a generation. So respect. And so I find that the reason is because in those days, if you were rebellious, and if you caused any problems at home, your dad had the right to take you down and tell the judges, and they would take you out and stone you. So they could kill you for disobedience, for stubbornness, or for pridefulness. Parents had the right to take your life. So God is saying, if you want to live a long time, be nice. It says it right there. In Deuteronomy 21, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, and he will not hearken to them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, probably by the ear, bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gates of the place, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, and he will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and he is a drunkard, and all the men of the city shall stone him, and they shall kill him. Oh boy, that'd be kind of nice to reenact that one. Well, God is saying, if you want to live a long time, be nice. Be smart. Don't be dumb. In other words, learn the responsibility and the respect within the home. The reason why you get in so much trouble, teens, is because you don't respect. You don't show respect towards authority. You have to respect authority. And then thirdly, we need to move on because I want to get done tonight. Because I want to be done with this tape once and for all. Must learn responsibility. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, or stay where you are. But if a widow have children or a nephew, let them learn first to show pity at home and to take care of their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. The third word is responsibility, and I want to say this because I'm guilty here myself. In other words, my mother is still alive. I need to see her more often. I need to be around her more often. I need to take care of her. In other words, there's a responsibility that some teens do not want to have a responsibility. I don't want to get involved with my sister. If you don't get involved with your sister, if you don't help her understand the right way, you could lose your sister to the enemy. Well, I don't want to cause any problems within the home. You need to stand up for righteousness. Children need to help their brothers and sisters in the ways of the Lord. And so there needs to be a responsibility. If you are the older brother, what you do is going to lead the other ones down the very same path. If you want to go out of control, then leave the house and go out of control. But don't go out of control inside the house and cause the other kids to go down that road. Don't do that. That's not responsibility. That's not respect. You say, well, Steve, I want to make good money. I want to be in charge. Then you need to be able to have respect, and you need to be able to have responsibility. That means you care for other people. You care about what you're doing to your mom. You care about what you're doing to your dad. You care about what's going on in the home. You care about what's going on over in the children's ministry or in the teens ministry. You care so much, you're not going to gossip and destroy other people. And we know that to be true. Oftentimes within a ministry, we find that kids are just brutal towards one another. But if you really care, because God is in your heart, you have a relationship with Him, that you have a respect for each other, you want to be a responsible person, then God's hand will be upon your life. It was Daniel at 14 years old that made a commitment to walk with Christ. It was Mary, we believe. She was around 14. Ezekiel was around 15 years old. It was teenagers that wrote the Bible. It was teenagers that led generations to the Lord. It was teenagers back at Costa Mesa that changed the course of the world at Costa Mesa. It's teenagers today that's going to take over this pulpit. And if a teenager says, time out, are you telling me that if I get a relationship with Christ, I respect my parents, and I have a responsibility within my life, I could take over that pulpit? Absolutely. God is looking for men and women who will go into the mission field and understand that there's more about life than about what they're going through in their own personal life. In other words, in those teenage years are difficult years. So because I'm not loved by my father, am I going to jump in bed with every other guy? No. I'm going to go to Jesus Christ because I want to keep myself pure. Do you understand that being pure today is like weird? I mean, so many have given up their life. Guys will give love to get sex, and gals will give sex to get love. I mean, the whole thing is warped. And so here's a young gal and a young guy trying to grow up in a church, and we see it all over the place. We see couples falling and living and beginning to live outside of marriages because they have no control. And the reason why, no relationship, no respect, and once again, no responsibility. I must have a responsibility. You have to take responsibility for your commitment to Jesus Christ. Responsibility for who God has you be in the home. And that means you need to take your share and do things. I wish I could go back and tell my son some of these things and my daughter. And lastly, you must have a reverence. There must be a reverence. And don't turn here, but in Leviticus 19, verse 3, you shall fear every man, his mother, and his father, and keep the Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. And what he's saying is that there needs to be a healthy understanding of the fear of God within your life. And so here I am as a teenager, kind of out of control. I mean, I want to do what I want to do. I want no one telling me what to do. I want to kind of move around and be and do things. Fine. Here's all you got to do. Number one, are you a Christian? Well, yeah. No. Are you really a born-again, spirit-filled Christian? Yes. Okay. Then there's a set of rules that you have to live by. Number one, you need to build your relationship with God better than any relationship that you can find in this earth. So nothing will ever stand in your way. That's a commitment between you and God, a relationship between you and God. You might not have it with your mom. You might be in that situation of mom and daughter having fights all the time. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, God will get you through the difficult times. Number two, you must understand the importance of respect. If you don't show respect, you're not going to receive respect. They brought you into the world. You live under their roof. They pay the bills. You're able to enjoy life. You're able to talk with them as diligently as you can and try to help them understand what you're going through in their life. I'll get to the parents next week. Try to have respect without yelling, screaming, throwing things at them and everything else you do. Number three, you need to be responsible. What a wonderful place to be responsible in a home. If you're responsible in the home, you can be a banker. If you're responsible in the home, then God can make you do anything that you want to do. You're responsible. And God's able to develop your heart, and you're able to care for other people, and you see the responsibility, how you can take the pressure off your mom, off your dad. You can make the phone call. You can tell them, and don't tell them that you got a flat tire. At least come up with something better than that, you know. Don't do that. Tell them, hey, I'm in trouble. I'm late. I've blown it. Be honest. Don't lie. You know, God's given us the gift of discernment. We know when you lie. Don't do that. God's on our side, you know. Now, if it comes down to a parent and a child, it's kind of like, sorry, you're out to lunch. You know, God said, husband, wife, children. Well, how long is that for? The rest of your life. Oh, well, it's a wonderful thing. Because the relationship I have, my son says, Dad, I need to borrow some money. Well, son, you're a vice president. I know. I need to borrow some money. Well, how long? Well, for a month. Can I get it interest-free? Sure. You going to pay me back? Yeah. Okay. Here. Now, if I didn't have a relationship with him, talk to your mother. But I'll do anything for him. Anything. Anything. And I'll give him anything. There's a relationship. There's a respect. And there's a reverence. In other words, not only do I respect, but there's an honor. I value the name. God's given you a name. God's given you a place. And God desires you to understand that He loves you. Well, Father, we thank You that, Lord, we can look to You in all of our ways. And we think of these three areas, these four areas in our own personal lives, not even as teenagers, just as a congregation. How that, Lord, we need to have a deeper relationship with You. How that, Lord, You can build that relationship through our fellowship and devotions. And Father, how we can have a greater respect for You. Lord, we can respect Your word and we can listen to obedience. And God, we can see that Your commandments are not grievous, but they're joyous, Lord, that we can do them through the power of the Holy Spirit and we respect You. And Father, we can take responsibility. We're so tired of blaming everyone else because we have not succeeded. But Lord, the reason we have not is because we have not looked to You. We have not because we ask not. And Father, one day we will have to take responsibility. And Father, the greatest of all is the reverence. It's just the ability to worship You. To know that we are exactly where You want us to be. So I pray for the teens, I pray for the children. Lord, I think of their tremendous plight. And Lord, I think of our responsibility as parents. Boy, how we have really dropped the ball. Lord, we're not diving into their life, trying to understand what they're going through. Lord, we're so worried about our reputation and so worried about what they're doing to us. Lord, we forgot the very reason why we brought them into the world, that we would be a family. And so I pray for the difficult relationships tonight. I pray, Father, for the teenagers that You would give them tremendous strength. That, Lord, You want to make a Daniel. You want to make an Esther. Lord, You want to make a Mordecai. You want to make an Isaiah. But Lord, it will always come from these areas of relationship, respect, responsibility, and reverence. God, would You change our lives in Jesus' name.